You're listening to Life Insights Live with Scout Bartlett. Oh, I like that part. I don't even know why. That's right, you are listening to Life Insights Live with Scout like Pathfinder and Bartlett like Pears. It's great to be here. Happy 1th of the month, Friday. It is Friday, the 1th of the month. Wow, this mic is hot. There we go. Let's see if that makes it better. It's Friday, the first Friday of the month, and every time it's the first Friday of the month, you get to catch Life Insights Live here on KEST, but also, those of you headed into the office, we're streaming live on the internet now. Just go to KEST Radio. You have to put the word radio in there. KESTradio.com. And click on streaming, and then away you go. That'll bring it right in so you can listen. You know, you can sneak it in a little set of earbuds in the office, and you can take me right into the office with you. People used to have to call in scouted. So it's KESTradio.com. Because if you just go to KEST.com, you get an odd and interesting site from some engineering company, I think in the Midwest somewhere, that, oh, cool. They figured out that their site was weird, and now it's just saying it's not even a site anymore. Anyway, so you want to go to KESTradio.com, and that'll get you to where you want to be. So good morning. This is Scout, like Pathfinder, Bartlett, like Pears. I know that makes it not necessarily so much easier to remember. It's fabulous to be here this morning. I've been watching a lot the energy that's changing across the planet. So let me sort of introduce myself first. I have to take other people's words for it, of course, because I have no idea what the experience of being in front of me is like. But I've been described as probably one of our nation's most respected practical mystics, whatever that means. But I've also been recognized by an internationally renowned healing master as an enlightened being, which was one of those disappointing discoveries of, oh, wow, this is enlightened. It's sort of like before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. Just with more awareness. I work, a little background. I have an engineering degree. I was born and raised to be an engineer. My dad's an engineer. My brother's an engineer. I have a degree in engineering and practice as an engineer for a while. And still have an engineer brain, which is just one of those things you don't ever completely recover from. It's a one day at a time kind of a thing. And at the same time, I have a peculiar knack with sensing, reading, seeing, detecting, understanding, grasping the patterns of energy flow in people. I am predominantly clairsentient. I'm naturally born clairsentient, which means that my intuitive input comes in from a direction of feeling it, sensing it. I end up experiencing, when I'm in a room full of people, I end up experiencing the predominant energies in the room. When I'm working with individuals, I experience that. When I'm actually working with them as clients, I actually merge with my client. So I am them while still being me while I'm working with them. So that gives me a doorway to be able to spot where are the bits and pieces that are getting in the way and triggering them to get hung up. In fact, I'll toss out an invitation. Normally, I'll let you know the reason that when you see these on, like, you know, the big national shows and they say, well, call in if you've, it's because they've prearranged those people. But I'm just going to toss out an invitation on the air. If any of the folks that are listening, if you've had session work with me, if you've done an individual session or class work with me, it'd be a fun day to get some feedback about what you noticed or what shifted or what changed or why it was worthwhile. So I'll invite you to call in if you've worked with me at 415-543-8255. 415-543-8255. As I said, we didn't pre-stage that, so we'll just see who's listening this morning. It's early, and I know folks are also on the road. As I work with people, I actually am them. So I sense where it is that bits of their programming are getting in their way, or different compartments in their consciousness are getting conflicted with each other. If you've ever had that experience where one part of me wanted to say this and one part of me wanted to say that, or in the old cartoons they used to show it with the, you know, the little one person on one shoulder saying this, 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 and the person on the other shoulder, no, no, this, this, this. Well, we actually end up with compartments in our mind that do that. So when people experience what gets labeled as self-sabotage, what's actually going on is that they've got one part of their consciousness that has one idea of what it wishes to do, and a second part of their consciousness that has a completely different idea of how it wants to approach things, or what its tactics are, or what its strategies are. And so if you've ever had the experience where you, I don't know, if you were single and you really wanted to go talk to this person or meet this person or whatever, a real place there where one part of you is going, oh, I want to talk to them, I want to talk to them, while another part of you is busily saying, I don't know, I might say something stupid, it might not work out well, they might hate me forever, it might be terrible, I might get my feelings hurt, terrible things might happen. And you end up in a conflicted place where you can't get either part to work. So they cross back and forth with each other, and neither part hooks up. Those are the compartments in our consciousness. So one of the aspects of being able to read the energy patterns in people, and also being clairsentient, able to step inside of them. I also am clairvoyant, clairaudient, smelliant and tastient. There's complicated words for those too. I have all of those inputs and experiences, but that's just a matter of sorting, much the same as some people you'll notice if they were someplace, if they were at, say, a new restaurant, their immediate feedback would be the visuals, while someone else would talk about the fragrances, the smells. And someone else might talk about the noise factor in the restaurant, and someone else might talk about the tactile experience of tablecloths or wall coverings or floor coverings. They had all five of those senses coming in. It's just, which one was their primary? Well, my primary is, on that sixth sense level, is clairsentience. So literally, I sense and feel what's going on around me. And I know lots of people have in their own life discovered that they have that part going on as well. So in that clairsentience, I'm tracking not only what's going on in me, but I'm ending up tracking what's going on in clients around me. And then because I've got enough clients to be able to see things from that perspective, there's also a portion of me that is tracking what's going on in, I'll say, the more global flows of energy. And so I can tell you that the recent energy flows that all of us have been immersed in have very simply been a big push. That's the short version. We've been in the middle of a big energetic push, a huge energetic push. And so people are feeling themselves, you may have gotten a sense as if, whew, I've made it through, because there's been a little lightening of that as we're moving into the fall part of the season, but it's going to have another round or two. But you may have experienced yourself as feeling as if you're pushed up against the wall, as if some particular aspect of you, you just can't make that, or it won't work, or it's never going to work, or it's never been okay, or it's too dangerous, or it's too hard, or it's too big, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And what goes on when we have these large universal flows of energy is that everyone's immersed in the same energy, but at the same time, everyone's conscious mind puts their own interpretation onto it. So everybody's immersed in the same energy, but everybody's conscious mind puts their own interpretation onto it. An analogy would be, I've noticed that in my youth, normal manners were, if you were out in a restaurant or public place with a baby, that you took responsibility for the fact that you'd chosen to bring a baby to a public place, and if the baby got discomforted and began to wail and cry, you took the baby outside. Well, I've noticed that those views of the world have changed, okay? And it doesn't seem like that's the norm across the board anymore. So we could just look at if one were in a restaurant and a baby were wailing and screaming, maybe the parents of that baby might take those sounds as, oh, our baby's very alive and vital, and this is just something it does. The grandparents might take those sounds as, oh, look at our cute grandchild. Other people that had babies might take those sounds as, wow, that's really difficult. Other people might take those sounds as, gee, those parents are remiss that they're not taking that child outside to let it be, you know, so that it can cry comfortably without making it part of everyone's experience. And other people might not hear the baby at all because they might just not hear, okay? Everybody would put their own interpretation on the sound in the room. Some people would help healthy baby. Some people would aw poor parents. Some people would bad-mannered parents, you know? And some people wouldn't hear it at all, wouldn't put any interpretation on it. They wouldn't even take, it wouldn't come into their awareness. When there's a huge flow of energy, well, there's always a huge flow, but when there's a big transition in that huge flow of energy across the surface of the planet, each of us is affected by it, but each of us has our own mind creating its own attachments or associations to that flow. Okay, so we have our own mind creating its own interpretation. So one person may feel that really large press, and they may get worried about their job search. Oh, I'll never find a job. Another person may feel that really large press, and it's the same press, but they may be worried about their relationship partner. Or another may be worried about whether or not they'll ever find a relationship. Or another may go into that they themselves are probably not sufficient for their job or their relationship or their parents. Another might go into a desperate sense of, oh my gosh, I've got a headache. That must mean that my brain's about to explode and, you know, I'm going to spontaneously combust right here on the planet. Another's interpretation might be, well, I'm feeling something off. It must be that someone is deceiving me. Or, gee, it seemed like I've had enough money, but I'm not suddenly not sure that I'll be able to make it. You know, whatever. It's the primary flow across the planet in this recent period, this summer, has been a huge push of growth. And many people have experienced it as drawing all of their focus in their own mind to what they might consider, or no, to what would be an energetic weak point. But the same way that a car tire could have a weak point and suddenly it would have a bubble rather than being a smooth, even tire, this would be an energetic weak point, not a judgment of the value of the person, but just a place where they individually might suddenly notice that their energy's bubbling out. Well, everything in us, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, or physically, is all energy. It's all energy. Everything and every non-thing is all energy. I mean, it sounds really bizarre when you try to put the three-dimensional analogy on it, but your thought is energy in the same way that your desk is energy. It's just made of energy. Quantum physics kind of caught up with metaphysics on that one and figured out that, yep, sure enough, everything's energy. If you take it apart looking for the smallest particle, there is no smallest particle. It's all just energy. Everything and every non-thing is energy. Every aspect of you, mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, no matter which level you're most aware of it, it is on all four of those. Just the same as the shirt that I've got on has a visual aspect. And if I touch it, it has a tactile aspect. And it's got a weight to it. It's not like it has a weight, not a visual, or a visual, not a weight, or that if I'm looking at it, it doesn't weigh anything, or if I'm holding and feeling the weight of it, it doesn't look like anything. No, it's all part of the same thing. It's all different aspects. Get it? Everything you experience, whether you experience it as a mental point of view of how things should be, or whether you experience it as an emotional button where your emotions go sideways, or even if you experience it as a physical pattern of movement, motion, recreation, or if you recognize it as an energy pattern, everything and every non-thing is all energy. And it's all a matter of form, shape, flow, and pattern. Okay, so we're going to talk a lot more about form, shape, flow, and pattern. I want to let you know I've actually been outside already in the city at O Dark 100 this morning, 6 o'clock this morning. It was already warm enough that a long sleeve shirt was sufficient. Isn't that wild? So it's going to be a beautiful warm day in the city. It's going to get hotter than that in the suburbs, but no matter where you are on the planet, it's a perfect day to have a great day on purpose. Hi, this is Scout, and you can have a private session with me, either a single session of self-understanding or ongoing development work for your spiritual path or unfolding the areas of your life that have been folded. We can work together individually, and I'm fully certified in all of the techniques that Christopher Howard uses in his groundbreaking Breakthrough to Success workshop so that we can work even in those directions. You can contact me by phone as 925-676-5189 or email me scout@lifeinsights.net. That's scout@lifeinsights.net. You're listening to Life Insights Live with Scout Bartlett. I like that part. That's right, you are listening to Life Insights Live with Scout like Pathfinder and Bartlett like Pears. I had a great experience this week. A friend of mine that I've known and we've been in communication and friendship since high school. So that's like, God, more than 10 or 12 weeks by now. A while. She and her husband live in Texas, but they were doing a cruise and they had a day in San Francisco. So rather than go do any of the onshore events, of course they lived in San Francisco for years, so, but rather than go do any of the onshore events from the cruise, we got together and had lunch, and that was Tuesday when it was so hot in the city that I was down on the waterfront in a short sleeve shirt and wishing I'd had shorts on. I wondered what town was I in. This is not the city, you know. It's like it's October and I'm so hot that I'm in a short sleeve shirt on the water. That would have been a great day to go to Alcatraz. You probably could have been on Alcatraz in shorts for a change, but just fabulous. So I want to mention I've got a couple of events coming up. First of all, you want to join in the program? You got a question? You want to add a comment? You can Facebook it. Just friend me up on Facebook if you haven't already. Just my name, Scout Bartlett. Find me on Facebook, friend me up. You can add your question or comment. I'm watching Facebook while we're talking. You can also join in the show. If you've had class or readings with me and you'd like to give feedback to people to try and describe in your words what that experience is like, join in. It's 415-543-8255. That's 415, which is San Francisco in area code speak. 543, which spells kid because I'm childlike, not ish. And 8255, 415 Kid Talk or 415-543-8255. Tomorrow, I am at East West Bookstore doing face-to-face readings. I haven't checked with them. I don't know if they're booked full and they're not open at the moment. But I'll just let you know, the first Saturday of every month, I do face-to-face readings at East West Bookstore. That's in Mountain View. The rest of the time, I do my readings by phone. I have clients all the way from Australia to Alaska, so it'd be tough for everybody to commute. Much easier by phone. I do everything on the phone that I do in person, except you can't see me make faces. We've added, for those of you that have some history with me, it turns out that I'm way better at my psychic-y stuff than I am at day-to-day business-y stuff. And it turned out that it was way more work than one person could do, and it took me a while to actually allow myself to recognize that rather than thinking I should somehow become gifted at something I was not gifted at, that I should just expand. So we now have the lovely Rebecca has joined our team. And so if you email for a session or if you phone for a session, you can expect a phone call back within 2 business days. And typically sooner than that, but you can expect a call back within 2 business days. So I welcome you to even call in on the phone or send an email just to thank Rebecca for existing or just to test it out. I'm just calling in. I don't even want a session. I just want to see if I get a call back so that I can talk to the lovely Rebecca. So you can test it out that way. She's got her Life Insights line, and she'll get back to you. So that's really cool. I'm excited about that. This coming Wednesday, I know we're in this week, and it's actually in next week, but it's the first Wednesday that's going to happen after today. This coming Wednesday is the Wonth of the Month Wednesday. And so we'll be doing our Wonth of the Month workshop. This month, it's life after death and before. I'll be talking a lot about what I've learned when I've communicated with people after they've crossed over. Because that's kind of the point. I did some study with a man named Leonard Orr, and I loved one thing Leonard used to say. And he would say that I choose to believe in life after death. And I choose to believe that for two reasons, he would say. One, because believing in that improves the quality of my life now, while I'm still alive. And if indeed I'm accurate about it, when I pass over, I'll be moving in the right directions already. And two, if I'm wrong and there's absolutely nothing after death, well, then I'll never know I was wrong anyway. Well, I have done enough communication to where I no longer believe in life after death. Because the word believe implies that you don't know. And I know that there is an ongoing experience beyond the completion of this body's lifetime. Now, my particular view is that that which is God heavily believes in recycling in order to get things learned. And so my particular view is that we experience lives through multiple bodies, but that view would also fit with the group soul connotation, where different aspects of the group soul experience multiple lifetimes. It's okay either way with me, I don't care. And it's okay if your belief system says we do one life and then we're done and we learn whatever we're going to learn without a body after that. That's okay too, because I do not get that afterlife, I don't get that there's a place that's heaven and a place that's the other, and that you get bumped into one or the other and you're stuck there. You know, I don't believe that you're just sitting your butt on a cloud learning harp. I have no idea why we would be learning harp, you know? I mean, if I was going to go be in heaven and I could play any instrument I could think of, I'm thinking blues saxophone would be much more interesting for eternity to me than harp. Or, you know, spend the next 43 million years getting really good on guitar. That's a good idea. I like that. Anyway, I don't believe that we're just sitting on our butts on a cloud somewhere learning harp. Well, I guess it could be blues harp. That'd be fun, you know, spend eternity learning to be really good on a harmonica. And I also don't believe that there is that which is God that has such limited emotional development that once you've offended it, it's like a third grader. You're never going to be my best friend anymore. You're gone to that other place. I do believe that we have an ongoing existence and that we take our consciousness with us. In fact, I don't believe it. I know it. I've had far too many demonstrations of the reality of that to have any notion about it other than a clear knowingness, including a series of experiences that I call telegrams that came in from Ruth Ann after she had passed away. The first woman that ever managed to get me to the altar. And so far, the record holder for that, 1-0. but this Wednesday, we'll be talking a lot about what I've learned from hanging out with entities that were beyond bodies, both from my own guidance and also from talking with entities after they crossed over. But I also want to let you know that we've started two traditions at East West Bookstore, and they're being beautiful enough to support these. We've started two traditions at East West. One is I typically do an event there on Halloween. Now, this year, Halloween falls on a Sunday, and because of scheduling things in the store, that doesn't work. So this year, I'll be on, what would you call the night before Halloween? Is that Halloween Eve? Or is the night of Halloween Halloween Eve? With the night before Halloween, I know Christmas Eve Day. You talk about Christmas Eve Day. So would this be Halloween Eve Day?
I call it October 30th.
Oh, that's so much easier. See, Kwong's been to radio school. He knows these solutions. So Saturday the 30th. Saturday Kwong Day, the 30th of October, I'm doing an event there, and it'll be real live ghost stories. And what I'll tell you that we promise for all of our events at East West, catch this, Kwong, they've selected all of my workshops since they started the program. East West has selected every workshop I've done there, every event I've done there, as one of their specialty events. And so it's a fundraiser. They charge a whopping $8. And a major chunk of that goes directly to East West as a fundraiser. I'm really honored they've selected it. But this is what I guarantee. Every event I do will be live, Technicolor, and 3D. With no special glasses required. I mean, how much more could you want? Every event I do there will be in living Technicolor and 3D. So there you go. It'll be there. But anyway, Saturday the 30th, the night before, twist, the night before Halloween and all through East West Bookstore, I'll be doing an event that's real live ghost stories. And then mark your calendar ahead of time because you're really going to want to remember this one. Thanksgiving Eve, which is the day before Thanksgiving, which Kwong would call November something. November 20-something. Thanksgiving Eve, I'll be at East West, and we do a very special workshop on Thanksgiving Eve. We've made it a tradition now. The title of the workshop, because it's the day before National Codependence Day, right? So, yeah, when all the families get together and carefully try to not step on each other's buttons, and they walk on eggshells and try to codependently make sure everybody else is okay, even if they're not. Yeah, National Codependence Day. So the evening before National Codependence Day, Turkey Day, we do a workshop called Surviving a Sensitive Lifetime, Even Around Your Family. Yeah, that's why. And so what we do on the Wednesday evening before Thanksgiving is we do a huge energy recharge so that as you walk into the holiday, whether you're going to go be around family, whether you're going to go do that adopted thing of, oh God, you can't stay home on Thanksgiving, come be around our crazy family and enjoy that tension. Or even if you're going to decide to bail on it and then you listen to the radio all day as everybody tells you how horrible it is if you're not out having turkey somewhere. Any of those, the Wednesday before, or better yet, if you've got family coming into town, yeah, if you've got family coming into town, bring them to the workshop on Thanksgiving Eve at East West, and we'll recharge everybody's energy, and the whole thing will flow smoothly. But speaking of events, let's see, not this weekend. This weekend's three. Yeah, next weekend. Next weekend, my niece is getting married. So all of y'all can, like, you know, if you're having anything celebratory to drink next weekend, hold it in the air and toast my niece and her new husband, Chase. So some of y'all, if you remember programming from way, way back, my niece and my nephew have both appeared on the show back when we had studios. Oh, this was pre-Kwong. This was back when we had studios over by where the ballpark is. Over there, when we had the top floor studios over there. Before we moved from there and became underground radio over here for a while. But, yeah, so my niece Megan's getting married to Chase, and then next spring, my nephew's getting married to Jessica. So those of y'all that remember Megan and Ryan on the air, Ryan did a great ad spot for us. It was, hey, we'd like it if you'd all sign up for a reading with our Uncle Scout so we can do better on Christmas and birthdays. Yeah, that was it. I've messed them up. They've gone on to wonderfully interesting lifetimes from there. Megan is an events planner and also runs the ministry for a large mega church in Kansas City, where she runs the ministry, the musical ministry, and runs the worship service for one of their satellites every Sunday. And Ryan went on to work with ESPN, and now he's with Fox Sports. But not on camera. He writes the stuff. He doesn't speak the stuff. We gave him experience here on the air, and he went, yeah, I think I'd rather be background. He likes that part a whole lot better. Anyway, so love to have you join us. The event this Wednesday is our event at the Clock Tower Conference Center. And those of you that are into such things, we're also looking for our own space in Mountain View. So if you happen to be connected with commercial spaces and such, or for that matter, if you have a building where you've decreased in size and you'd like to sublet part of it in a place where we could be doing gatherings, we'd love to hear about that in the Mountain View, Palo Alto-ish area, so that we'll have our own center there. But we love the Clock Tower Center where we've been working now. It's a lovely place. You'll like it. We set the energy in that room, and it's just as sweet as it could be. So This year, oh, again, if you want to add a comment, you got a question, you can Facebook it to me this morning. I've got Facebook up even while we're on the air until we get down to the last few minutes. Oh, I suppose I should give people, since I mentioned the lovely Rebecca, my email address is scout@lifeinsights.net. You can also email me a question while we're on the air this morning, too, if you want to. My email is scout@lifeinsights.net, or the shortcut to get there is just go to notscott.com. Yep, sure enough, notscott.com. Just go to notscott.com. And that'll get you right into the website. It's got the events. It's got the directions for Wednesday's event at the clock tower. It's got the address and the directions all right there. So go to the website, lifeinsights.net. Or if you want to put in a phone message and talk to the lovely Rebecca that way, it's area code 925-676-5189. I had to do that stop and remember it thing. I don't call it that often. 925-676-5189. If you call and look for Scout listed out in the Concord area, in the 925 Concord area, they'll give you that listing. So the energy's been pushing across the planet. It's been big. Now, the cool part is that groovy cool stuff is groovy cool. Boy, that was a great sentence. Buy that boy a thesaurus. Events that are lively and life force filled are coming in even more lively than usual. Okay, the beauty. I went and did the photography for a friend's band the other day. It's a whole new sport that I'm taking up, as I'm discovering I actually have a decent eye. So I went and did photography for a friend's band the other day, playing with my new camera that I'm still trying to learn. And in doing the photography work, you could see that the aliveness and the life force and the fun that people were having at this event was just fabulous. So there's both sides to it. The energy flow has increased tremendously this year. And so in some cases, what we're observing is, as individuals, what we're noticing is a tremendous push. Okay? We're noticing a tremendous push from the inside in any part of us that's been, that we've been sort of sweeping under the rug. But on the other side, it's also a tremendous push in any part of us that has been ready to blossom and move forward into perceiving a greater sense of life, life force, energy, flow, or beauty. It's one of the pieces that people notice in the workshops that I do, because I flow. I mean, truthfully, the once of the month workshops, come to the workshop even if you don't care about the title. Just come soak in the energy, all you energy junkies. Soak that in and let it light you up. And one of the things that people watch when they elevate their energy space is that their perception of beauty goes way up. The colors in the room get brighter. Their sense of life and joy and aliveness get brighter. In fact, that's one of the things I comment on. If you notice that you're hitting depression, or if you're hitting a place where you're feeling really low, those are signals that your energy's low. And it's not a solution to go dwell on what you're worried about. Act on it if you're able, but it's not a solution to go dwell on the view of the world. Oh dear. It's a time to go do any of the things that elevate your energy. For me, trees and moving water. I get around trees and moving water to refeed my energy, as well as making sure that I do a daily practice that has me elevating my energy and elevating my focus in a meditation. Oh, cool. So we've got Facebook fun. So again, if you want to come play with us on Facebook, if you aren't already one of my friends, friend me up. It's just Scout Bartlett, you know, like my name. How complicated is that? And so you can join in the program this morning by Facebooking it, or you can even toss me an email if you've got a question. If you're tossing me an email, please make sure you put it in the subject that it's about the radio so that I can catch that. So let's see. What do we got here? What's my take on the whole 2012 paranoia? Is it founded, or is it just another Y2K? Well, Y2K was more computer than spiritual. The shortest version of what I've been able to see about the transformation that we're in the midst of would be to say it this way. my guidance has given me an illustration that what we're doing energetically, first of all, it is us that are elevating and changing the frequency of that which is Earth. Okay? The last time we changed the frequency of that which is our home planet, we called our home planet Atlantis. That wasn't a town, it wasn't a city. That was the home planet then. The last time we changed frequencies, before the change of frequency, we called that home planet Atlantis. After the change of frequency, we called it, oh man, what? And then we gradually settled back into, yeah, Earth, okay, we'll be here now. We're changing the frequency of this reality again. It's in going on right now. So among the things that you may have noticed is that the psychic distance between us has decreased tremendously. The psychic distance between us has decreased tremendously. So you'll notice that where it used to be, wow, it's amazing you would call right now. I was just thinking of you. Where that used to be a once in a long time event and it was worth talking about for a couple of days, now it's hardly worth talking about for a couple of hours because it happens so often. It's amazing you would say that right now. I was just thinking that. It was very interesting. I had no idea about it. I got up this morning and as I was coming into the station, I found myself thinking, wow, Reverend Maureen's had a really long run with the program that she's been doing. Wonder how that's funding. And then I walked into the stage studio only to find out that she's changing what she's doing and changing her approach and that she's completed that run of that program. It's like, wow, okay, I get it. Came out of nowhere. No wonder I was thinking about that. The psychic distance between us has decreased, but also the time delay between what you hold in your mind and what shows up on your world has also decreased. So the time delay between thought and thing has also decreased. So bluntly put, to be worried and paranoid about this transformation of physical space merely makes it so that you'll be bringing about more outcomes that would reflect that worried and paranoia. The ideal thing to do is notice that things are changing, that it's accelerating, that there's a tremendous energy push, and use that to reinforce your own intention to make sure that you do the practices that elevate your energy, whether that's walk, dance, knit, crochet, meditate, play music, garden, whatever it may be that you know elevates your energy. Now, I'll help you out. I've tried every recipe of chocolate cake that I can find, and I've tried every nation's physical chocolate that I can find. And while all of them will give you a nice caffeinated sugar boost, none of them actually raise your energy. Neither does a 5-hour energy drink. We're talking two different energies here. One is buzz your body and work your body beyond its normal cell capacity. The other is actually elevating your spiritual frequency. Doing the things that expand your energy state are exactly what you want to be doing, coming into the sense of transformation. Now, I will say that I get a sense that there will be a transformation, and in that transformation, there will actually be a division where we'll just say some of the living beings at that time will be ready to graduate from third grade into fourth grade, and so they'll move up with this third grade classroom that we've called Earth while it remodels itself into a fourth grade classroom at whatever frequency that is. Others that are not ready to graduate from third grade to fourth grade will find themselves in a different physical reality that'll still have the same properties of this one, and they, good chance, they won't even notice that they've transferred time and space because it won't feel like any change of time and space. It's hard to describe. It's really weird to put that into words. I'm looking for an analogy. It's sort of like if you've ever, when you didn't really think you fell asleep, you know, so there you were, and then you dozed off without realizing it, and then you woke up without realizing you'd been asleep, and all of a sudden the world is disoriented because it's later in the day, or maybe you'd been hanging out with some friends and they left, or the TV show you were watching, it wasn't that show anymore, it was a different show, and yet you'd had no sense of change of time and space. It just seemed like one moment I was watching this show, the commercial ended, and it was a completely different show. I'm so confused. it's sort of that kind of a transition. So to be paranoid about it, that's useful if what you'd like to do is focus on making it really hard. So thank you, Ms. O'Leary, for that one. Let's see. I don't know the book, The Monkey Tribe, but it's a little frightening when I find out that I'm the inspiration for one of the characters in a book. It's like, uh-oh, I don't think I want to go too far into that. Who knows what that actually is saying about me? Oh, and now there's a discussion of it. Far better. Far better. This is really fun. This is folks that are diving into the radio show on my Facebook page, some of whom are my friends that are just messing with me. So welcome. Glad to have you join us. You're welcome to friend it up on Facebook. It's just Scout Bartlett, just my name. And then you can actually add in your comments. So Laura, thanks for, now I'm going to have to go look up the Monkey Tribe and find out exactly what you were telling me about me. Oh, and there's a shorter version. I see. It's a takeoff. Oh, and that's Laurie responding to Laura. How entertaining. So we are in the midst of a tremendous transformation. That's one of the reasons that I've got a couple of workshops coming up about understanding the whole point of why we're alive. And I'll tell you, it's easier to understand the point of why we're alive from outside the body, just the same as it's easier to understand the point of a discussion between two members of a married couple. It's much easier to understand the actual point of what's going on if you're not one of the members of the couple. Y'all ever had that experience? I can remember that where Ruth Ann and I would have a major blowout, and then afterwards neither one of us would actually know what it was originally about. We would just know where it went later. So the planet is in a tremendous time of transformation, and a portion of that is really returning to the focus of why we're alive and what we're doing. See, each of us is a fragment of an original wholeness that, in English, the only word we have for it is to call it God. So each of us is a fragment of an original wholeness. And within that original wholeness, as we fragment out in order to experience incarnate life. But it's also to experience what gets called in the Course of Miracles, separateness. Kwong, can you fix that? Whistling. What's called in the Course of Miracles, separateness. Thank you so much. It's all of those experiences of being a human being where we notice that we feel like we're alone, or we're the only one, or we're, I'm all alone, I'm unhappy, I'm going to go eat worms. We move in not to avoid it, and not because it's wrong, and not because it's punishment. The whole karmic concept is not about, you done wrong, boy, now you're going to be punished. Well, that was just wrong. Uh-oh, I just offended an entire contingent of the nation that are going to go, wait a minute, why are you using that example? But the whole point of it, of the karmic concept, is not that we've done wrong and we're being punished. It's that each of us took on a certain series of energetic, call it twists and tangles, and our gig is to untangle those energetics. So it's like as if there was a whole pile of energetic tangles, knotted up gold chains, and each of us took on one of those, or some of those, some amount of those, except that they're actually human experiences and emotional energetic buttons that we're taking on for us to untangle them as we go through the process. It's not a punishment, it's a project. It's no more a punishment than calculus was not a punishment when I signed up for a major of electrical engineering when I was at university. It wasn't a punishment, it was just part of the curriculum. It felt punishing to me, but it was just part of the curriculum, and for some of the people, it was the best part of the curriculum, it was the most fun. I just didn't happen to find the fun of it. These things can happen sometimes. So there's a real place here where we're all moving forward, and the key part is coming back to the things that raise and elevate your energy. We're going to take a second for me to either try and figure out what's going on my Facebook page and grab a sip of water, but we'll give you contact information so that you know where to find us. I'll let you know I've been outside in the city already. At O Dark 100 this morning, it was already warm enough in San Francisco that a long sleeve shirt was enough, well, and a hat to cover my little naked head, but a long sleeve shirt was enough. It's going to be gorgeous in the city. It's going to be hotter than that out in the suburbs, but no matter where in the world you are, it's a perfect day to have a great day on purpose. Hi, this is Scout, and you can have a private session with me, either a single session of self-understanding or ongoing development work for your spiritual path or unfolding the areas of your life that have been folded. We can work together individually, and I'm fully certified in all of the techniques that Christopher Howard uses in his groundbreaking Breakthrough to Success workshop so that we can work even in those directions. You can contact me by phone as 925-676-5189 or email me scout@lifeinsights.net. That's scout@lifeinsights.net. Yeah, you're listening to Life Insights Live with Scout Bartlett. What? I like that part. I don't even know why. You are listening to Life Insights Live with Scout like Pathfinder, Bartlett like Pears. I'd love for you to join in. Send me an email to keep in touch. That way we can let you know when we've got stuff coming up. But absolutely, join us this Wednesday. Join us this Wednesday. In fact, this Wednesday, not only will my event on Saturday, October 30th, Halloween Eve, or Halloween Eve Day Eve? Halloween Eve Day Eve. The day before Halloween, October 30th. Not only will that event be Living Technicolor and 3D, but the event this Wednesday will also be Living Technicolor live, in color, and 3D with no special glasses required. How's that? And that's this Wednesday. It's Life After Death and Before. Talking about the stuff that I've learned from communicating with people that had completed a lifetime, and we're now finding out what the whole thing was beyond that. Traveling beyond the veil. See, everything in your world is becoming a more and more rapid reflection of you, which makes me wonder about myself as I look at the Facebook conversation that's going on. But everything in your world, Kwong, you should have had my Facebook page up. Everything in the world, you haven't even friended me on Facebook. I'm offended. Do you not Facebook, or you're just not my friend? Careful, think before you answer. We should give out your page on the air. That would mess with you. Anyway, everything in your world is a reflection on your energy flow. And this is the piece. Bringing yourself back to your center is the point, always. If you've noticed that your beloved partner has just pushed your buttons and you've become irritated, the point is coming back to your center. If you've noticed that you've gotten worried about your job because your boss is going crazy, the point is coming back to your center. I just noticed the other day I was reading an article about the fact that the workplace is now seeing a more rapid experience of tattletales. People busily making sure they report to their management or their HR or whatever, any place where they think someone else is breaking the rules, like even if there's not a rule, but they don't like the fact that someone else is dating someone they work with, they go tattletale. Why? Because they figure if they can get enough people fired, then they themselves won't get laid off. Now, there's a work environment that's a delight. And when you notice that's your work environment, the first piece is to come back to center. When you notice that something has captivated your attention with worry and distress, worry is just the little red light on the dashboard of life that tells you that your energy has dropped. That's all it is. If you notice that you've got worry going on, your energy has dropped. And the solution to your worry is go do things that'll elevate your energy. Because as soon as you elevate your energy, you'll notice that you're more able to see more options. Okay? And that's exactly how it works. Actually, somebody remind me Wednesday. We'll do this one Wednesday night. I actually do a demo where I shift the energy in the room. And typically when I do the demo, there's always a few Olympic class worriers that could worry under any circumstances. You know, they can pull it out under stress and be able to make it happen. But when we do this energy shift, we elevate the energy in the room such that everybody follows with it, because everybody has a tendency to match with the most consistently held energy in the room. And once I've elevated the energy, the fun part is we see about 95% of the people in the room shift over. And when they go back to relook at a worry that they'd had before, they find that it doesn't show up as a worry anymore. It's something they can think about. It's something they can ponder. It's something they can look at and review. But it doesn't show up as a worry anymore. Because once they've elevated their energy state, or we've elevated their energy state as a team, that energy state, the concept shows up as a concept to think about and possibilities to look at, as opposed to just whoomp going into that worry thing. When you notice you're able to worry, it's just a little red light on the dashboard of life that says your energy has dropped, or that your energy is low. And the solution to your worry is go do the things that elevate your energy state. Then look at the concept of what's going on and see what you'd like to do about it at that point. The point of all of it is to come back to your energized state and come back to center. Everything else is distraction. It really, truly is. The point on all of it is to come back to your center. When you get your buttons pushed, when people are messing with your Facebook page just to see if you can focus, come back to your center. Elevate your energy and expand that out. Now, the easiest way to be able to come back to your center, yeah, it's like taking Prozac without the pills. It's kind of the point, Laura, as a matter of fact, because the easiest way to be able to come back to your center is if you are regularly recharging your energy batteries. Again, Ram Dass tells a wonderful story of early on when he was Professor Dick Alpert at a major university, but he had begun exploring higher consciousness through chemistry. We'll phrase it that way, with his friend Tim Leary, whom some of you also know. And Ram Dass says that he used to do these talks, and for the most part, most of the people that came to his talks were college age or maybe slightly beyond college age and sort of had a uniform experience. And he said one night he was doing a talk, and there was a person right in the front row with white hair, clearly outside the norm, and he thought to himself, uh-oh, here's a, and you know, what then looked like, to, you know, to a nice 30-year-old would look like an older person. So I'd better rein it in, he thought. And he said he did this talk, and he got to one place where he just couldn't express what he wanted to express without using sort of an expanded consciousness reference, point of reference. And he expressed that, and this woman was still nodding her head and agreeing. And then he said, then I got curious, and he said, I probably talked about stuff that was more far out than I usually would, and this woman kept nodding her head and agreeing. And he said, then I thought, well, maybe she's just got a neck problem and her head bobs. He said, but her eyes were lit up. She looked like she was agreeing. And I'm thinking, what on earth does she do? He said, so I got to the end of the talk, and I sort of did that thing you can do from the front of the stage, which from the front of the room, which is just looked right at her and gave her a big smile that sort of said, you've got to come up and say something to me after the talk. He said, and she did. She waited through the line, and she came up, and she said, oh, Dr. Alpert, thank you so much. This was such a fascinating thing. It's so rare that I get to be anywhere to hear people talk about such things. Thank you so much. And Ram Dass says, I looked at her, and I said, what do you do? What is it that you do that you understand these states of consciousness that I'm talking about, these out there experiences that he himself had had through LSD, quite frankly? And he said she leaned down and kind of looked around conspiratorially, and she says to him, I crochet. Whichever meditation expands your energy, brings you back to center, and refuels you, do it. And it's very funny. We can find that it's so much easier to flip on a sitcom for a half an hour than to meditate for 20 minutes. We can find it so much easier to go fiddle with Facebook for 30 seconds that somehow on Facebook turns into 3 hours than to go take a walk or go work in the garden or crochet or whatever it is you do that you notice afterwards. You get a sense of, wow, yeah, I should do that more often. Those things elevate your energy. Well, if you've got a practice of elevating your energy, now my path is meditation. So, of course, since that's what works for me, I assume that that's what everybody should do. There's a meditation. If you go to my website, you can go into the page that says, actually the page that says workshops. Once of the month, it says workshops. Scroll down on the right. There's a pink box. There's a fabulous meditation right there that you can just download. It's on the website. It's free. Go for it. Join us Wednesday. We'll have another meditation. But to do the thing, I meditate, to bring yourself back to that centered state every day means that when stuff knocks you off center, you're never more than 24 hours away from the last time that you'd practiced it. And yeah, indeed, Laura, just as you said, lots and lots and lots of people, lots of research has demonstrated that people's heart pressure goes down, their sense of peace goes up, their sense of enthusiasm goes back up, their sense of creativity goes back up, and their sense of life and aliveness goes back up, and their ability to refine their center, even when the world around them isn't centered, goes back up. All of that fed from just taking time to interrupt the flow of your thoughts and come back to your center. So we can talk more about that, or you can send me an email. In fact, please do send me an email so that we can keep in touch. The email address is scout@lifeinsights.net, or just go to notscott.com. You can find me there. And the one through the month Friday, I'm always here. I hope I'll see you Wednesday night. No matter where in the world you are, it's a perfect day to have a great day on purpose. So treat yourself as a loved one, because you truly, truly are. Scout like Pathfinder, Bartlett like Pears. See you soon.
Feel great and